Today on Real Radio.
I was asked, Pastor Jack, are we really doing 1 Corinthians? I said, we really are. And he said, but why? It was such a carnal church. Why are you doing that book? First of all, it's in the Bible. Number two, I want to ask you, how are you contending? How successful are you right now waging war against the carnality of this world? How's your private life?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack begins a brand new verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Church of Corinth, 1 Corinthians. It really is quite telling about the first century church that really did have its share of problems. But of course, we all benefit from how Paul handled the situations in writing to the Corinthians. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a look at the first three verses of chapter 1. It's a lesson called What Jesus Christ Sees in His Church.
Open it up, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll obviously be parked there today as we get into the introduction and kick it off. I was actually asked by someone when they heard, Pastor Jack, are we really doing 1 Corinthians? I said, we really are. And he said, but why? It was such a carnal church. It was such a messed up church. Why are you doing that book? Well, wait a minute. First of all, it's in the Bible. Number two, I want to ask you, how are you contending? How successful are you right now waging war against the carnality of this world? How's your private life? How's the personal holiness going in your life? Are you staying clear from the evils of this world? Are you winning the battle for Christ? Are you walking more upright as you become more and more like Jesus in this world? The book of 1 Corinthians is a very timely book for every church in America, yay, for every church in the world. It's a powerful book. From this book, listen, we will learn all about things like our theological position in Christ. We are going to learn all about what God speaks and says to us regarding being vessels dedicated to the Master's use. We're going to hear all about a lost world and why that world is lost and those that are going down the vortex with that lost world. What's their conduct? What's their word, verbiage, action? What are they doing that indicates to the world around them that they truly are people who know not God? And what about a church that is living in an age in which sin is rampant, as Corinth is in Greece at the time? It's still in Greece right now, today even. You can visit it. I've been there. Many in the church, we've taken a tour there some years ago. Corinth, Greece, the things that we'll get out of it, the things associated with this city and this Roman province is quite interesting. The Olympic Games, the Bema Seat, that is the gold, the silver, and the bronze Olympic awards were invented there. The very award seat of the Greek Olympic Games has been found in Corinth. Many, many things. On and on it goes. We learn a lot. So church, as you grab your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you can just park there having it open. You can take notes. I highly recommend that you do that and grow because we are going to learn a lot, church, from this Church of Antiquity on what not to do as believers. The title of the message this morning is this, What Jesus Christ Sees in His Church. And I want you to write that down. What Jesus Christ sees in His church. And you need to understand something. Please hear me. The word church, you'll know more about in a moment. But you can insert your name there. What Jesus Christ sees in His child. What Jesus Christ sees in me is a great way for you to learn in the book of Corinthians. It's your life. It's my life. It's what makes up a church. What does Jesus Christ see in me? Boy, I tell you what, was not that junior high, high school ministry video announcement powerful. We're backstage getting ready to come on out, and we all had tears in our eyes. Was that not powerful? Those kids want to be known, and they want you, mom and dad, to be the mom and dad of their life. Not their best friend, not their bud. Those kids are crying out for you to be the leader in their lives. And what a great statement that one boy said. When we don't want you in our lives, that's when we want you the most. Is that not true? Well, what about Christianity? As a church, what are we? Who are we? What defines this church? Well, what defines this church is what defines your life. Where you live, in your neighborhood, who are you? How do you live your life? How you live your life is how this church lives its life. And how it lives its life in the community is how it affects the community around us. And thank God, just this week alone, by your witness, by your example, I thank God. I told Gina, I literally emailed her. She sent me the blast. They just voted, unanimous vote, to adopt the Bible in our school district here. And I said, Gina, don't mess with me. Are you telling me the truth? I'm about ready to cry. She emails me back and she said, 5-0, overwhelmingly. And I emailed her back, crying. I had to cry. And then a few minutes later, within the hour, that's for sure, I get another email blast. The city of Ontario, our neighbor, adopts In God We Trust on the city seal. Did you know that? This week. That is awesome. The influence of people who are living a godly life. You guys, the church at Corinth, what can we learn from it? They were living the opposite. They were a church, no doubt about it. You'll hear how much so in a moment. Jesus loved them. What did he see in them? He saw things in them that the community at Corinth did not see. Why? Because the church at Corinth was carnal. They were not affecting their school board, their school system. They didn't have people running for public office. They didn't have people, say, in the police department or in the whatever it is. What happened was the world had invaded the church at Corinth and began to make the church exactly how the world was all around it, you guys. And this is serious stuff, because we're going to learn how to be a church during this book by what they didn't do. So what Jesus Christ sees in his church, I want you to follow along with me. Chapter 1, verse 1, 1 Corinthians, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, we'll explain more of that in a moment, with all who are in every place that call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Verse 3 says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to put your eyes to the screen here in a moment. In taking a trip, everybody makes a plan. You make a plan. And Paul's about ready to take a trip. And he's going to do his becomes his second missionary journey. And so I want you to look at this. Look there, and I'll try to show you something if you can see this. Here's Jerusalem, bottom right-hand corner. You see where the E is in Jerusalem? Right where that E is, Paul would have gone down the coast, headed north to Caesarea, up to that seaport village, an amazing place. Many of you have been there. Beautiful place. It's the Newport Beach of Israel today. And so he would have gone, as you can see these little arrows, taken what's called the Via Maris. It goes up this. That's their Pacific Coast Highway, literally. He would have gone up to Antioch, Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, Troas, up into Europe, into this area, and you can see Thessalonica, other areas there, all along the way, making stops and planting churches. He would show up and preach the gospel. People would begin to gather around. Listen, number one, there were predominantly Jews that would come in here. And they would be converted. Gentiles began to come and see what in the world's going on. He would have come down now this area, some of the most beautiful territory on the planet today, by the way. There's Thessalonica, one of the oldest cities of the world. You can get an airplane ride today. You can buy a ticket to Thessalonica. And you would come down as he did, and he came to Athens. And Paul was so excited because Athens was known as the seat of intelligentsia. Athens was the place where all the philosophers and thinkers. What do we have like that in America today? Can someone help me? Do we have a place like that today? The think tank? Would it be, I don't know, like MIT of America? I don't know. None, probably not, because this is more philosophical. Do you remember in Acts chapter 17, Paul shows up and he's walking around Athens and he notices all of these idols to all these gods? And then there's a stand right there that's empty. It's just a podium or a platform, and it says to the unknown God, because the Greeks did not want to offend some god they might have forgotten. Literally, and so they had this platform there, and it says, well, in case we missed any gods, this one will be to the unknown God. From Athens, which Paul, if you read in Acts chapter 17 and 18, completely flopped. The ministry there was an absolute flop. Paul, I think, tried to impress them with his knowledge, and it didn't work. He winds up going over to Corinth, which now takes place and is the host for our study, and right there in Corinth, Paul will announce to them, chapter 2, verse 2, he'll say to them, listen, when I came to you guys, I didn't pretend or act like I knew anything except one thing. Remember that? That's Christ and him crucified. He learned a bitter lesson in Athens. He tried to pontificate in Athens without the preaching of the cross and fell flat on his face. Paul could have easily been caught up into the impressiveness of Athens itself. And that's easy to do. It's safe for us to be kind of self-righteous and holy in the confines of these walls, but it's another thing to be walking down Sunset Boulevard or Hollywood and Vine and maintain a strong, biblically-based view when you're being pulled in 1,000 different ways. And Paul, who was a very brilliant man, no doubt was being pulled by all of the things that were, to him, a temptation. To maybe debate these philosophers. Paul was a great debater. To maybe speak to the priest of this particular god, be it Titan or Athena or whoever it might have been. Poseidon. All the gods were there. In fact, if you go to the Museum of Pergamum in Berlin, you'll see those gods. Those gods now are enshrined at that great location. The Bible tells us also in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, therefore, when they, that is the apostles, had come together, they asked Jesus, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Are you going to wrap up this ministry of yours now and bring into the kingdom age? And Jesus said to them, 2,000 years ago, verse 7, Acts chapter 1, he said, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But, verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the what? To the ends of the earth. And so Paul, understanding, though he was not present at that moment, he came to Christ later on that road to Damascus, the Holy Spirit speaking to him that truth. Jesus, no doubt Paul would have heard this, Jesus in Matthew 28, 18. When he spoke to his disciples before he ascended back into heaven, he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore. Isn't that great? Can somebody say like amen to that? Are you not, listen, Christian, he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And you might say, well, that's cool. No, Jesus says, get excited. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. We can, you know, because all authority has been given to him. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, or behold, look, open your eyes, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Based upon whose authority? Jesus's. Paul pulls up to Corinth in about 50 AD, preaches the gospel, and a church is born. The writing of this letter takes place in about 54 AD, about 3 to 4 years have passed since the founding of that church. Listen to this. Corinth was Rome's most affluent, profitable, highest standard of living, richest city in all of the empire. You might say, that's where I'd want to live.
Well, and apparently a lot of people did, because the population of that ancient city during the time of Rome was over 500,000 people. That's a big deal for an ancient city, you guys.
It was powerful, influential. Listen, it was a trend setter in the Roman culture. It was something that was highly desirable. They had a lot of leisure time. They were known for their leisure. But one of the things that stood out in this tremendous city was its pagan temples. We'll see some later, but religion and spirituality was huge. Why? Listen, you guys, anybody remember the Jesus movement days back in what started in Southern California was really what came out of, and many of us are children of that movement. It followed on the heels of what? Do you remember the 60s?
No, man, can't remember. Dude, it's all blank.
You don't want to remember the 60s. Young people were saying, materialism's not it. My parents have worked their tail off, and they own all this stuff. They've got cars. We've got TVs. We even have radios. We've got two or three pairs of shoes. We've got three or four pairs of pants. We are so rich, and we're not any happier. And the young people said, you know what? It's time to, what was the old saying? Tune in, tune out, and drop in, or whatever. It was in Timothy Leary's invitation to come and take acid. Drop acid, leave this world, and find a metaphysical spiritual realm. Listen, Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun, and history repeats itself, my friend. And here's why I'm excited about the evil age in which we live in. And I know that sounds contradictory, and it is not. The reason why I am excited about the age in which you and I live in is because we are now on a sociological and religiously or spiritual scale. We are ripe in America for revival. You want to know why? Kids know today, these kids you saw on the screens, your junior highs, your high schoolers know that sex was all exciting at first, and now it's dangerous and it's scary. It's your children. It's the next generation, did you know? That's announcing no more abortions. Did you know that? Many of you may be so liberal, you're saying, well, whatever, choose whatever. Not your kids. Statistically, go look it up. The data is overwhelming. The new generation coming up, God bless them, they're realizing, you know what? What my parents led me into doesn't work. The Beamers don't make people happy. The Mercedes didn't make my family stay together. The house on the hill didn't make me any happier. And on an MTV worldwide poll a couple years ago, the world's youth said, the number one most important thing to me is, will I have a family? That, my friends, is the beginning of a revival. We just need to be Christians to stand up and to proclaim the gospel that Jesus Christ came for them, died on the cross for them, and rose again from the grave for them, that they can have their sins forgiven and be given new life. And you don't have to ram that down anybody's mouth or face. You know what happens? It's a movement of God. The sin, as it were, like it was in Egypt, the flesh began to come out of their nose, remember? We want meat. We want meat. We're sick of this manna bread, Moses. We're sick of it. And God said, get out of the way, Moses. I'll send them meat. God sent them meat. They wanted meat. God gave them meat. And what happened? The Bible says they had meat so much that they began to choke on it, and it began to come out of their nose. That's awesome. I'd love to have seen that happen. Our culture has had enough of free sex and drugs. They're sick of it. And they're looking for something meaningful. And if you're not there, and if we're not there, if we're not on the streets, if we don't have youth pastors, were you not blessed by our youth pastors last week? That is an engineered process of the leadership of this church, that your youth be the best taught youth on the planet. And you got a grip of that last week. Why? That's the future. If Christ doesn't come back, that's the church. And frankly, I'm pretty excited about it. When I look around at our youth, I say, thank you, God. It's an amazing time. And I'm so far from my notes, it's ridiculous now. You'll find this remarkable. I did.
I totally forgot this. I remember learning this years and years ago in school, and I forgot it. Sad to say, I'm embarrassed to say it. Mark it down. Paul the Apostle wrote the book of 1 Corinthians. He wrote it to communicate to them, to remind them of what he had preached to them years earlier. Here's the interesting thing. He was warning them. They had gotten carnal. They had gotten lazy about their Christianity. Here's what's shocking. From the city of Corinth itself, Paul wrote another very famous book of his. It's probably his most famous work. In fact, it is studied today still in many universities of law school. It's the book of Romans. Paul wrote the book of Romans in Corinth. Now, you guys all sitting down? Because you're going to pass out here in a second when I tell you why that's important. With all of its affluence and with all of its wealth, it got bored with things. The church got carnal and it began to flirt with other gods and other lifestyles and ways of living, getting away from the Word of God. And it adopted the carnal ways of the world. And Paul, listen, like G. Campbell Morgan said, Paul probably opened up his window one day in Corinth and looked out of the window onto the streets of Corinth as he writes to his friends in Rome. And this is what he wrote. Are you ready? This is deep stuff. You get to see what Paul saw in Corinth. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. This is Paul's view from Corinth, a city that was setting the tempo and lifestyle of the Roman Empire. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Imagine now, church, he's looking out the window watching the injustice and the unrighteousness of a wealthy, prosperous pagan culture. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. What made him write that? Did he look at them and see their genius? And did he look at them and see their creativity and their arts and craftsness of their lives? That they were people who were literally given gifts from God, but they didn't know that. They didn't recognize that. They didn't recognize what was manifested in them. For God has shown it to them, verse 20. He says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. Why doesn't the Corinthians see this, O Romans? I'm here in Corinth and I'm looking at them and they're lost. They've got incredible robes. They've got incredible jewelry. They've got incredible wealth, but they're incredibly lost. They can't see what is godly, what is right. Being understood, they should know this by the things that God has made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called What Jesus Christ Sees in His Church. It's the first in a series of lessons taken from Paul's book of 1 Corinthians. What Jesus Christ Sees in His Church. That's the title Pastor Jack has given to this look at chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, recently we aired Pastor Jack's What Christians Believe series. We aired it right here on Real Radio, and there was a huge response, quite frankly. That's why we're still making available the entire series for you on one MP3 CD. And our offer still stands. For your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you the entire series all on one MP3 CD. It's a great series, and you probably shouldn't miss out on this. That's Pastor Jack's complete audio series, What Christians Believe, all on one MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to the outreach of Real Radio. All you got to do is go to realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and then click on the banner that says What Christians Believe, realradioactive.org. If you'd like to call us, we'd like to hear from you, 877-RR-RADIO, that's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay, and Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.